A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Ram, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 17, 1999, entitled, Keep Caring, It Matters. The texts for the sermon are Jeremiah 22, verses 11 through 17, James 1, verses 22 through 27, and chapter 2, verses 14 through 27, and Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
The fact that we seek to raise the financial support for this community, this ministry, in a party format speaks volumes. The idea arose some years ago. There was a task force gathered because this ministry needed a hitch in its level of support. And the problem with this ministry is that it has always looked prosperous. And I think I can also say, at least on the part of all of those who have surrounded me, it has been done with excellence. But the appearance deceived, because we have, as long as I have been here, been hanging by a very thin thread. And the problem is that this has become a rather substantial institution with a large program and a vision, and it is led by one who does not effectively raise money. I am not saying that to put myself down or to be humble over much. I simply recognize that fact because I have colleagues in the ministry who, frankly, I think have less gifts than I do in many respects, and yet they raise much more money. And so this congregation has struggled, contrary to appearances. And a few years ago, there was a task force gathered to deal with that problem. And I don't know who said it, where the idea came from, but a party was mentioned, and I jumped on it immediately. And I said, now I think that I could do. I could use a party format to raise the financial backing for the ministry. And thus it was born, Party Sunday. And I remember the first one very well. The balloons, which we've already enjoyed. I love the balloons personally. I just think it's such a marvelous moment. And I think the thing I love about it most is the fact that it is such joy all over. But after that first Party Sunday, with the balloons and all of the fun, children went to their respective schools, and it came back to us from here and there in the schools around the community. The children went and told in their classes that they actually had had fun in church. And I thought that was very healthy, and I still think it's a very, very good thing. Because, as Ron said, I was also raised in the fact where the most significant signal in church was this. And it was rather sober and rather somber. So I love the party. And the fact that we do it on this critical Sunday in which we call for your commitment speaks volumes about the nature of this community. For one thing, it keeps things in perspective. I have listened enough, long enough, to appeals for funds for Christian causes, which come off as though God is holding God's breath, as though if this doesn't happen, if this response isn't given, something critical will happen or something critical won't happen. And I want to say that a party format for fundraising gives us a good perspective. You know, we're part of something really big. I mean the human drama. I mean the cosmic drama. I mean billions of years, dimensions of space that the human mind can't even take in. All of the wonder of this emerging evolutionary cosmic process of which we're a part. Being just lately able as human beings with self-consciousness to reflect on it and to begin to understand it. What a big thing this is. There's a creator spirit in the midst of it, permeating it in all of its dimensions and moving it forward, and it will go forward with us or in spite of us. And I think taking the ministry and its financial support into a party format keeps the perspective alive that we're, after all, just human. And the word human comes from a root humus, and humus is that stuff after a rain, you know, when you look at a muddy flat, there the worms have come up and they leave little deposits. That's humus. And to be human is to be made of stuff like that. We are finally humus. And another word from the same root is humor, of course. And God's saving gift is a sense of humor. And if we can keep in mind what we really are, if we can remember being human, that we are simply humus, then we can keep our sense of humor about ourselves. I always like to say that what I do, I take very seriously. But I take myself with a grain of salt. And I think that's a rather healthy perspective to keep in church also. Because it is there's often such a, tension created. And the emotions can be stirred, and a manipulative kind of dimension easily comes along with a rather coercive spirit. No, we're going to talk about this ministry and its financial support, and we're going to ask you to commit. And we're going to do it in a party format to keep our perspective. But the party format also enables us just to do what we're doing this morning. That is to celebrate and be community together. You know, that isn't very often possible for us. When I was growing up, and I'm sure many of you would say the same thing, my whole social life, the life of my family, centered in the church. Every weekend was shot to heaven, and several points throughout the week as well. My family didn't do anything that wasn't connected with the church or with the people of the church. And you know, there was something rather wonderful about that. It was very stable, it was very solid, it was very secure, and there was a lot of mutual support. Everybody knew everybody. That was wonderful. Everybody knew everything about everybody. That wasn't so wonderful. But it was a close-knit community that was there for generations, generally, deep roots. People didn't move around so much. And so the community was to gather in all kinds of situations. Not so anymore. Just look at you. A diverse group of people from diverse walks of life, from diverse backgrounds, from many areas, coming together in this highly mobile society, finding here something that draws you here. But how do we know that we are a community together unless we can punch some balloons in the air together, laugh together, enjoy one another, and let our hair down and acknowledge the fact that, well, we are family. We belong together. I think it's a very healthy way to celebrate the fact of community. If I call a big party on Wednesday night, you wouldn't show up. You are too busy. In fact, we jam as much as we can into Sunday morning. We're pretty lucky to get a lot of you here occasionally on a Sunday morning. Now, that's not a criticism. That's just an acknowledgement of the very nature of our society and of our lives. So if we don't do it now, we'll probably never do it. And I think it's very healthy to do it. I like the fact that children can go away and say, we had fun at church this morning. And I hope some of you saw someone else for the first time laughing, having a good time. It builds community, which is, after all, very important. And the thing we're here about this morning is to raise the same question I asked last year. what is it worth to have this kind of community? The secret will be whether or not there is enough value in this community to give it sufficient support to continue and to grow. This is about the enabling of this ministry that we have found something in that has drawn us together. I want to suggest that we must be very clear about the nature of this community, because it's an alternative community. And I want to give you two words. I want to say it's a thinking community and it's a caring community. Now, it's a lot more things, but at least just focus on those two for a moment this morning. It's a thinking community and it's a caring community. And it may seem at first blush that thinking and caring don't have a lot to do with each other. And I want to destroy that myth. I'd like to establish in your minds this morning that we are a thinking community in order that we may be a caring community with authenticity. I have mentioned in various settings from time to time, probably also in this setting, the fact that on Tuesdays I have lunch at Duba's with three colleagues who are of diverse theological posture. It's a fantastic conversation. It's a very stimulating couple of hours. And recently a friend of mine came. He was invited to join for 2 or 3 weeks. And he didn't understand that if one of the original four are not there and a statement is made about one of them, that statement will come out in the conversation. So my friend, who was a guest there before I got there, said, "Dick's tired." So I sat down, and before very long, Duncan looked at me and said, "Dick, are you tired?" And maybe he said, "Are you tired of what you're doing?" Well, there was kind of a hush. And I said, "Yes." I don't think it's the answer that they expected to hear. But I said, "Yes, I'm tired. I'm tired of what I'm doing." And then I went on to explain. I'm not tired of being a pastor. I'm not tired of thinking the faith. I'm not tired of preaching. But I'm tired of being a voice in the wilderness. I'm tired of swimming against the tide. I'm tired of caring deeply about things that so few people care about. I'm tired of being obsessed with a vision and a perspective that doesn't seem very important to very many people. And I went on to speak about that a little bit. I went on, my friend then, who had made the statement, said, "Well, you are a pastor at heart." I said, "Yes, my deepest identity is a pastor." But he said, "When you preach, you're not a pastor. You're not being pastoral." And I said, "When I preach, I am being pastoral. Because when I preach, it's the consequence of thinking the faith. And I think the faith in order that I may be a pastor. All of my years, I have been thinking about the faith, not in order to have some answers about the faith or to be able to define God. I have been thinking about the faith in order to stand at the deathbed of one who looks me in the eye, and I've been thinking in order that in that moment I might be honest and authentic, that I might be present to that person in their dying hour." I told him, "I can tell you about a crib death 25 years ago. I can tell you about a lovely young child that died of leukemia. I can tell you about a young mother who had 3 miscarriages. Was pregnant once again for 5 months. Everything looked beautifully. Something went wrong, something bizarre. All 5 months, because of the three miscarriages, she had prayed, "Dear God, dear God, dear God, make it right." And then it wasn't right. And then what do you say to a young woman like that? I think the faith, in order that I might speak to people in their most in their deepest needs, in their most existential moments, I think the faith, not in order that I can have answers, but in order that I know when I don't have answers. Henry Nouwen years ago wrote a little meditation in which he talked about care. And he talked about the fact that no one wants to care, everyone wants to cure. And what we do is let pious cliches trip off our lips rather than being present to people in their pain and in their darkness. And he went back to the origin of the word care, C-A-R-E, the English word, in the Gothic, K-A-R-A, cara, which means to lament, to grieve with, to cry out with. And he pointed out the degeneration of that word care. That word care has become a sign of indifference. You want to go to a movie? I don't care. You want to do this? I don't care. You want to go there? I don't care. The nonchalance, the indifference, that doesn't want to get involved, doesn't want to make a decision, doesn't want to make a commitment. But Nouwen said to care is to be present with, to lament with, to grieve with, to be at the side of. Because the human situation is not all parties, and it's not all sweetness and light. It is marked by suffering, and it is marked by tragedy. And at its best, religion is caring. Jeremiah excoriated the king for building his palace when the poor were suffering. He reminded the king of his forebears. He said, they took up the cause of justice and righteousness. They were concerned for the cause of the poor. Then it was well with them. Is not this to know me, says the Lord? Have you ever heard knowing the Lord defined that way? Knowing the Lord. Know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? That's just such a superficial, facile kind of an expression. Knowing the Lord is being concerned for the downtrodden and the poor and the marginalized and the excluded. And I believe that James was in line with that prophetic, Hebrew prophetic tradition. Some say that James was fighting Paul. I don't know whether he was fighting Paul or not. Paul was a grace junkie. Dick Rehm has been a grace junkie. Ron Zoot comes to this church, and the first time he hears a sermon, it concludes all his grace. And he could have come any one of 500 other Sundays, and I would have said the same thing. Because like Martin Luther, I have experienced the grace of God that is liberating and freeing. Grace is my theme. Martin Luther didn't like James. Neither do I like James. He called it an epistle of straw. Because he didn't want to hear about the law, and he didn't want to hear about obedience. And I recognized this week, thinking about this whole thing, that James is a lot closer to Jeremiah and Jesus than Paul was. I don't think James was fighting Paul. I think he was probably fighting a misconstruction of Paul. You can misconstrue Paul's grace and make it a salvation cult. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, period. Cheap grace, mere affirmation. James says it's not enough. James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. James says, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Paul said, of course, we're saved by grace through faith without any works. James says, that's not right. Paul was speaking about one situation, James another. I don't think he was countering Paul, but I think he was complimenting Paul, and what he was saying, I realize today, was closer to the gospel of Jesus Christ than the gospel of Paul. Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. James says, true religion is about taking care of widows and orphans. And you can translate widows and orphans into the context of today. Who are the marginalized? Who are the abused and the oppressed? True religion is about caring for them, thinking and caring, and thinking in order to care authentically, thinking in order to care with authenticity, integrity, and honesty. I don't think in order to find an answer. I think in the face of situations that have no answer, so that I have thought profoundly in order to care deeply and honestly. Nouwen says, we would like the cure. We don't care. To care is not to cure. It's to be present in the darkness, to stand there and absorb the pain without an answer. Because what we all really need is that human community that assures us when we have no answer that we're not alone. This community thinks not in order to find answers, but in order to care honestly. Keep caring, people. It matters.